Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think there's a lot of bad football from what I watch. You know? I watch a lot of bad football, a lot of, poor quality of football, that's what I see.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Tom Brady, one of us, Tom Brady watches a lot of bad football. So did Jay and I last night. So did America. It is noon on Friday on Peacock, but it is 5 o'clock somewhere as we join you guys at the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. Jay Croucher, Matthew Berry here, and Tom Brady speaking for a country when he says, I watch a lot of bad football. Dude, that was brutal last night.
It was a tough one. That's about as bad as it gets. I can't remember. I remember there was a 6-6 Seattle-Arizona game in primetime as well, which Russell Wilson was also obviously a part of. Usually Russell Wilson has amazing primetime games. That's his whole thing. He's primetime Russell Wilson. And, I mean, you know who he looked like to me last night?
Kirk Cousins?
He looked like Russell Westbrook on the Lakers.
Oh, wow.
He just looked like a broken player out there.
And shots fired.
I think he should get better, but that was as bad as it gets.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of tweets out there. I tweeted out, this is the greatest worst game I've ever seen. I saw other tweets out there as well, like Scott Hansen. Let's cut to another game.
Yes.
Pretty good. Host the Red Zone, obviously no other game there. Wade Phillips, at Son of Bun, the great Wade Phillips, legendary coach. I think both teams should consider punting on first down. They'd have probably screwed that one up. That was Wade. Scott Simpson, at Nimble with Numbers. I just decided that whoever finishes last in my home league has to rewatch this game as our league punishment. I feel like that's cruel and unusual.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, league punishments need to be, cruel, but, like, also fun. Mm. Like, that's just not fun for everyone. Like, I would enjoy watching you be forced to get a tattoo or dress up in an embarrassing outfit, having to perform mime on a corner. I would not enjoy watching you watch that game.
No, that's
it's
not fun.
It's so brutal.
That's torturous.
Right. Yeah, you have to take somebody out on a date, like a doll or a stuffed animal on a date. Like, there's lots of, having to take the SAT. I would rather retake the SAT than rewatch that game.
That was a tough one. You remember when Joe Judge called the QB sneak on like 3rd and 8? Like that would have been a play that would have been highly efficient last night. Like that's what they needed.
That was absolutely a brutal game. I don't think anyone was affected worse than our own Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk who tweeted this. I usually smoke a cigar during the second half. I may go score some meth at halftime for this one. Getting his Breaking Bad on. No reports as of yet whether he was successful or not in scoring meth. I guess we'll find out,
Mike.
On Sunday.
Mike Heisenberg, Florio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A little bit. You don't want to ruin Breaking Bad for everyone out there? How that is?
No. Breaking Bad is safe. That's a safe space for you Breaking Bad non-watchers as of yet.
It is one of the all-time great shows.
At least you won some people some money last night.
Thank you very much. Yeah,
the betting expert, Jay Croucher, did not, but Matthew Berry won, hitting both of your props. Melvin Gordon under 57.5, which should have won a lot easier. You had to
much
sweat that
easier.
Out.
I know. I was looking great. Like, he had 12 rushing yards in the first half. I was looking great, and then it goes to overtime, and then he's getting some chunk plays. I'm like, oh. What's interesting about this, so when I gave it out on air, I gave it out at 57.5, but it kept ticking up.
Yeah.
It got as high as 63.5 in a lot of places as well. I think it ended at 60.5 on BetMGM. But, so it kept ticking up. The under wins there. And, of course, Matt Ryan to throw an interception. It was just at minus 120.
That was an easy one.
It was an easy one. But just because you hit the layup doesn't mean it doesn't count in the box score. It does. He actually throws two just to make sure, hey, in case you guys had second half interception, I'm going to hit that for you as well. You went over 1.5 rushing yards, Jay. You should have won this bet.
I should have won the bet. He took off on his last play of the game. I had to wait. I had to sit through the entire game to get to him taking off in OT. And I swear to God, he got a second yard on that play. And they gave him a bad spot.
Bad spot.
He gets 1 yard.
And there were like three or four plays where he should, where the smart football play would have been to run for 3 or 4 yards where he had a path. And instead he threw it away or just said, you know what, I would rather do is I will just sit back here for 5 more seconds, get sacked.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you hit 2 of your bets, but the best bet that hit last night for mine was our own Vaughn Dalzell on the NFL on NBC YouTube channel, who gave out no touchdowns scored in the game at plus 7,000. We've got some sound of Vaughn giving that out.
For my longest shot of them all, in no way do I actually think this is probably going to win, but am I going to sprinkle no touchdown score in a Colts-Broncos game when these two teams combine for about 32 points per game? Yeah, I'm going to sprinkle this. This actually opened up at plus 10,000 and has gone down to plus 7,000, so there are actually people betting this in the world. Mind you, I'm not throwing more than $5 on this bet. I think that if we're going to see a Thursday night football game that doesn't have any touchdown scored, it certainly looks like a Broncos-Colts team with no Javonte Williams or Jonathan Taylor.
Vaughn Dalzell and Tom Brady, both very prophetic. I think I'm going to start giving out all my picks
all
in
right,
the dark.
Let me do some math here. So if he threw $5, he said anyone's going to throw more than $5. But still, $5 at plus 7,000. Yeah, well, let me do some math here. What is that?
You got the calculus, $350.
$350. Yeah. Turn $5 into $350.
That's pretty good.
There you go.
That's not a bad return. Yeah.
Imagine giving $5 to a Starbucks and then they give you $350 back.
Not bad.
That's not bad at all. I would take that all day and twice on Sunday.
Vaughn Dalzell, the one man in America who enjoyed Colts Broncos, which is, I think, the new definition of bad football, almost a caricature of a bad game. But let's go into the fantasy takeaways now. My man Russell Westbrook, Russell Wilson, can he no longer be started in fantasy lineups after whatever the hell happened last night?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, all jokes aside, look, I've met Russell Wilson a couple of times in my life. Could not be a lovelier person. Like the wholesome sort of guy you see. Like, I don't know what he's like in real life, but I will just tell you that I've met him in, like, away from cameras, and he was what you'd expect him to be, which is genuine and interested and nice and normal and, like, you know, like a good dude. And so I understand there's a lot of people that want to bag on sort of for lack of a better way to describe it, the cornball nature of Let's Ride and all of that and Mr. Unlimited. But I don't root for good guys. There's enough bad guys in the NFL. I don't root for bad guys for good guys to fail. But, you know, I do think it's fair. And I don't want to make fun of that. I will say that it is fair to criticize the performance because it hasn't been there. It hasn't been there from an NFL perspective. You just watch the games. From an eye test, you're like, that ain't the same guy.
No.
It's bad. And, you know, like a lot of people are going to focus on him missing Kamler on the last play. Right? I mean, but
what is that?
I mean, like, you're just like, right, this is just that sloppy football. It's bad as we're watching the play on the show on Peacock where he just threw the bad interception. Just it felt like he was trying to throw it away, and he just, you know, just an easy sort of can of corn there for the outfielder as well, and then throwing the pick into the end zone as well. Two bad picks. He came into week 5, surprisingly enough, as the the 12th best quarterback in fantasy. A lot of that sort of, you know, risen up by his week 4 performance, the crazy game as well, where he had a huge game. He was on my love list last week. That paid off for me. He wound up as QB3, 27.5 fantasy points in week 4. But QB14, QB24, QB28. And that was his first 3 weeks. And he was in week 3, he was QB28. He scored 9.1 fantasy points. Last night, he scored 9.2.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of football still to play, but he's going to be somewhere in the 25 to 32 range for quarterbacks. So 4 out of the 5 games that Russell Wilson has played, he has been quarterback 14 or worse. 3 out of the 5 games he's played, he's been quarterback 24 or worse. And by the way, here's their upcoming schedule.
Yeah.
At the Chargers, that's not a good matchup. You don't love that. Home to the Jets, okay, fine. That's not a pushover matchup, but that's like you're not scared about that, especially because it's at home. But at Jacksonville,
yeah, it's tough. They got a good defense.
Yeah, the Swagwars. I've been on the Jaguars all year. You know this. Yeah, I don't know when are you finally coming on board, Jay?
Maybe this week. I finally buy in after
exactly.
They beat the Texans.
I've been begging you to get on board with the Jaguars. It's I'm alone and talking to people. This is a good team, but you know. So and then he's at Tennessee in week 4. if you ended the season with Russell Wilson as your only quarterback, you need another option.
Yeah, you right? need a Marcus Mariota. You need someone else, anyone else. I just think the aura around Russell Wilson is gone as well. Like, think about if you're a Ravens fan or a Ravens money line better against the Bills, as soon as Lamar threw that pick, you knew that Josh Allen was driving down the field and winning that game. Russell Wilson used to inspire that same stuff just 2 years ago, and now that guy is just completely gone at the moment.
Right. There are some guys in the NFL. Brady's one of them. Mahomes is one of them. Josh Allen is one of them. Jalen Hurts is getting there. But, you know, Allen, Brady, Mahomes, Rodgers. You're down whatever you need, and you just gave the ball back to Aaron Rodgers on his own 20 with 45 seconds left. Yep. Tom Brady, Josh Allen, you're like, this might be, exactly. Right, you know, and like you used to feel that way about Russell Wilson,
sure.
And you certainly don't. I agree with you. There is no mystique there anymore. They are last in the NFL in touchdown conversion in the red zone. They've had fewer than 10 yards per attempt in 4 out of the 5 games. I get that it was a short week and the Colts have a good defense. But that was bad last night. And what's happening is that whether it's Hackett or Russell Wilson or a combination thereof, I said this on the radio. I did a radio interview on the way in. I bet you, I wish I could put lines on this, but someone call a BetMGM and see if they'll get me a line for this, okay? But I bet I would love to make this bet that somewhere in the next 3 weeks, it leaks out, and I'm using air quotes for those that are listening, it leaks out. That Russell's been playing with a bad shoulder.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, or like he's been playing through a tough ankle or the wrist is still bothering him. He's so tough. He's a warrior. He didn't want to complain about it, but he's clearly less than 100%. Like something's going to leak out to try to protect how poorly he has played.
Yeah, I'll give you a line. That's minus 2,000. That's happening. It's definitely happening.
I would still take that. I would still take the bet.
I think the concern as well is that it's on him. Like, his offensive line has been good. Like, just watch the last play of the game. That's the perfect kind of encapsulation. Perfect blocking. They have the second best pass blocking grade by PFF, the Broncos. Judy hasn't been great. Sutton's been fine. But this is on Russ. And so one of his supporting cast members who was, like, fine, Melvin Gordon, who had 15 rushing attempts for 54 yards, gets the 3 receptions for 49 receiving yards. I mean, is Melvin Gordon, particularly with how bad Russ has been and potentially the Broncos leaning on the run game more, could he be a top 20 running back going forward?
He's a sell high is what he is.
Okay.
Melvin Gordon's a sell high. If you watch that game closely, and sadly, I'm contractually required to do so because that's my job. Literally, I'm on the couch with my wife and my oldest son and his girlfriend, and we're all watching. And, you know, my wife is like, this is brutal. And I'm like, I know, but I'm on national TV tomorrow talking about this piece of blank, and I said a bad word. I watched that game closely, and Melvin Gordon was somewhat effective in the passing game.
Yep.
He was not effective in the running game, and it's only because, again, Colts were traveling on a short week, playing at Mile High. I know that's not the name of the field, but you know, like the elevation. They were tired towards the end, and so Melvin Gordon started to get some chunk plays. But I got news for you, right? So he got 13.3 fantasy points, and he got a couple of goal line opportunities, didn't convert because, you know, they're the Broncos. He played 59% of the team's offensive snaps and 37% of the snaps in the second half. Felt like as it was getting close and they needed it, like they're like, Melvin Gordon, who didn't fumble last night, and it was the first game all year that he didn't. Latavius Murray is coming. And so I believe at best Melvin Gordon is the head of a three-headed running back by committee on a bad offense. And so I think you can take this 13.3 fantasy performance from last night and potentially trade him next week. Be like, look, you know, like he's going to get all the work. Russell's bad. Like they're going to lean more on the run game. No Javonte Williams. Like I think you can sell Melvin Gordon with sort of that narrative. But like I want out. I want out of this offense. Like I still like Cortland Sutton, but I want out of the business of the Denver Broncos offense for the foreseeable future. And I do think Latavius Murray is going to have a real role here. Nothing Melvin Gordon did last night made me go play like, yeah.
Yep.
Like he had a couple of nice plays in the passing game.
Yep.
But again, I think they'll use some Mike Boone there too. And I don't know that you can count on that. And I
think as well,
his value is, like, I think he'll be usable, but I think Melvin Gordon's value is actually at its highest right now.
Yeah. To play into that, there was something last night that was interesting where the Colts, they kind of gave Melvin Gordon some extra yards because they weren't trying to tackle him. They were just trying to force a fumble.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were doing. And if they're doing that, if teams are kind of overcompensating to try and force fumbles and there's more likelihood, he's one fumble away from just being in the doghouse and being in real trouble, particularly with Latavius Murray coming in. All right, Jerry Jeudy, has he reached the point of unplayable like his quarterback Russell Wilson? 3 for 53 last night, no touchdowns, did have 8 targets.
Yeah, I mean, great. I mean, like, and by targets, you mean it was thrown on the general side of the field that he was on.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I'm not dropping Jerry Jeudy, but I can't start him with any confidence. Like, I'm not starting him next week at the Chargers.
No.
You know, and let's see what happens. I could see starting him at home with the Jets. Like, I think he's going to be a spot starter, but he's had 31 career games. He's had fewer than 16 fantasy points in 28 of them. So the upside really isn't there. He's had single-digit fantasy points in 3 out of 5 games so far this year, right? I mean, like, he really needs to be a volume guy because he's not a touchdown guy. I mean, he's had 31 career games. He's got 5 touchdowns. 5 touchdowns in 31 career games. And so the argument is, oh, well, he's had bad quarterback play. I got news for you. He's still got bad quarterback play. So, yeah, I mean, the only person that I am starting with confidence on the Broncos offense is Courtland Sutton. Let's quickly move to the Colts now and Matt Ryan. No one's starting Matt Ryan.
No.
The question is he decent enough, competent enough to keep fantasy relevant pass catchers afloat? Michael Pittman, I thought that's a pretty good 5 for 59. Look, he was covered by Surtain, you know, like, yep. Really tough. 99% of the offensive snaps, short week. Not worried about Michael Pittman. Alec Pierce, I think, could be a thing, though.
I think so too.
Yeah,
he was everywhere last night.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is now back-to-back weeks with over 80 receiving yards. He's had more than 60 in 3 straight games. He's averaging 11 yards a target in his last 3. Feels like the Colts have finally figured out, okay, hey, there's another viable pass catcher, especially with teams giving so much attention to Michael Pittman. Alec Pierce is going to be a thing. He's available in 92% of Yahoo leagues, Jay. And I thought just from an NFL standpoint, he made some contested catches. He ran good routes. This is a guy that a lot of people loved as a sleeper coming out of Cincinnati. So, I mean, I think a lot of people felt like in the draft that Chris Ballard got a steal with Alec Pierce. And so I'm buying in. I mean, you know, we like the talent. You know, he was somebody we already liked in Dynasty. But I do think he's a viable guy going forward.
Yeah, I think it's a good sign as well for his talent level and production that the Broncos were so concerned about him that they actually put Surtain on him at the end off of Michael Pittman, who's a top 15 receiver in the NFL.
Easy.
I do think it's incredible that Matt Ryan had 2 interceptions, got sacked 6 times, including a strip sack, and was clearly the better quarterback in the game for mine. He made some plays. He stood up in the pocket, took some hits. But let's jump into some Roto World headlines, starting with a favorite character on the Fantasy Football Happy Hour, Kyle Pitts, who with his hamstring has been ruled out Sunday against Tampa Bay. America's nightmare continues.
Well, will they be able to tell?
Yeah.
Kyle Pitts won't play in this game just like he has it in the first 4 games. I mean, the jokes write themselves. I mean, come on, right? You know, I mean, it's like, how will you tell? Right? You know, you'll open up the box score on Monday.
Oh,
no, Kyle Pitts. Oh. Okay, it's another Sunday.
Yes, yes.
It's just another NFL Sunday.
On to breakfast.
Here's the positives. Here's the positives are. It's pretty much like every week of the NFL season, but the positives are is that we know on Friday not to play Kyle Pitts as opposed to on Monday. You know, the previous 4 weeks, we knew on Monday that we shouldn't have played Kyle Pitts on Sunday. But now, at least on Friday, we know that Kyle Pitts is out. No one is cheering on injury, of course. It's a hamstring injury. We hope Kyle Pitts gets better. This is not on Kyle Pitts. This is on Marcus Mariota. This is on Arthur Smith. This is on the entire Falcon staff. We love Kyle Pitts here. Free Kyle Pitts and get better Kyle Pitts. What this means, though, Jay Croucher, is that you're starting to look for a tight end. I'll give you a couple of guys. The highest-rated tight end that I have that's available in, you know, more than 50% of Yahoo leagues is Tyler Conklin, who's available in 59%. 8 or more targets in 3 of the 4 games. Through the 4 weeks, he's a top 8 fantasy tight end. And I believe, you know, as we've talked about with Miami, really good corner play. So what do? You go towards the middle of the field. I think Tyler Conklin would be sort of my number one choice. My next choice is
Logan Thomas?
Of course it's Logan Thomas. Look, he's had 5 or more targets in 3 out of 4 games so far this year. Logan Thomas is available in basically 80% of Yahoo leagues. And look, the Titans' defense doesn't scare you. Through the first 4 weeks of the season, they're 28th against the pass. We know that Tennessee's going to be able to move the ball against Washington because the Commanders' defense is 24th against the pass.
Yes.
They're brutal, too. So they were going to have to throw in this game. So, yeah, give me some Logan Thomas. as well. Hayden Hurst, I think, is a viable option. Hayden Hurst has 5 receptions in 2 of 4 games here. We expect a lot of fireworks on that Sunday night game right here on NBC and Peacock, of course. I'm a company man. No team has given up more passing yards this year than the Baltimore Ravens. So I think Hayden Hurst is a guy. And then Irv Smith. Irv Smith of the Minnesota Vikings. Listen, it's not a primetime game for Kirk Cousins. We should be okay. They're at home against the Bears. The Bears have, the Bears have played better pass defense because it's just so easy to run on them. But Irv Smith is 54% available, and I think that the narrative on him is somewhat different if he'd caught that 50-yard bomb against Philly as well. Finally, last one I'll mention here, Will Dissly has 12 or more fantasy points in 3 or 4 games this season. He's scored in all 3. He's a little bit touchdown dependent, but name a tight end that isn't. Tough matchup on the road at New Orleans, but we're all sort of buying into Geno. Honestly, at this point of the season, who would you rather have, Geno Smith or Russell Wilson?
You'd rather have Geno Smith right now. I think you'd rather have Teddy Bridgewater as well. Obviously, you'd rather have Wilson, I guess, going forward in terms of projecting him. But for next week, until he figures himself out.
I'm going to say something crazy.
Oh, no. Drew Locke.
I'd rather have Carson Wentz.
Yeah, no, that's not crazy at all.
I know we're one and three.
Wentz is better.
I'd rather have Carson Wentz.
He's a better.
I'd rather be
right
one
now.
And three with Carson Wentz than 2-2 with, or I guess 2-3 now with Russell Wilson. Let's move on to.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, who returned to practice with his ankle injury.
Yeah. Now Dan Campbell said earlier in the week that basically Friday's practice would determine who would play against the Patriots this week. He hasn't officially been ruled in the game, but certainly a very positive sign for Amon-Ra St. Brown, who I think if he's active against the Patriots, I think you're starting him, especially given the fact that the bye is next week. I can't imagine the Lions, because he's such an important part of their offense. I don't think the Lions are throwing him out there to decoy and risk further injury to Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I think if he's active, I think you can safely start him. Of course, we'll talk more about this Sunday morning, fantasy football pregame, 11 a.m. Eastern, all the way until kickoff right here on Peacock. I'm a company man.
The Josh Reynolds show might be over if Amon-Ra St. Brown does suit up.
We are getting Hockenson and DJ Chark also practice as well. No DeAndre Swift. It's going to be another Jamal Williams week at the running back spot.
Let's close out with Hunter Renfrow, who shed the non-contact jersey coming back from a concussion. Would you be starting him if he is cleared to play, as looks like he's going to be?
I'm at wide receiver 37. In a deeper league, I suppose. I need to see it. The Raiders offense has been a little bit inconsistent so far. We expect a ton of points to be scored against Kansas City on Monday night. But, again, you've got Waller. It's been hard to get him going. Obviously, you expect Devontae Adams. Mac Collins has become a thing.
Yeah.
So it's just like how many balls are there to spread around? Again, I like Renfrow as a player. We haven't really seen fantasy production from him this year. He's been banged up. Wide receiver 37. Sort of, if you have multiple wide receivers that are in my top 36, you would start them. But if not, all depends on who. Yeah. So I'm not must starting him. He's a wide receiver 4 with upside.
Yeah. He had 10 targets in his last game against Arizona. So that is something to hold on to.
Sure.
That he did have that. All right. We're going to break. When we come back, it is Flex Friday. Ooh. Matthew. And we'll go into who we might start and sit in the flex positions.
Flex Friday.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
He like I said, he play with swagger. When he comes in the huddle, he demands huddle up, come in, listen. Basically, it's just everybody respects him. Basically, he's a great player. He's young. He's going to continue to learn and develop. It's our job, like I said, to make him look good and help him stay comfortable while he's out there.
All right, a new dawn in Pittsburgh. The Kenny Pickett era begins. Nice, easy matchup first time around for Kenny Pickett against the Buffalo Bills, who are 14-point favorites against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Is that a lot? Because that feels like a lot.
Feels like a lot. Yeah. I think the Steelers have never been 14-point underdogs in like 50 years or so. Basically, as long as we've been tracking lines. So good luck to you, Kenny Pickett, going against the Bills' defense. Now, there's a lot of interesting fantasy guys in this match. And one guy who is going to kick off Flex Friday, bizarrely, because he was a top 10 pick pretty much across the board, is Najee Harris. Is he no longer a must-start fantasy player, particularly when you're 14-point underdogs to the Bills?
I think you're going to be hard-pressed. Now, maybe, you know, maybe like, whatever, you got James Robinson late, you picked up Jeff Wilson off the waiver wire. So, like, there are scenarios where I could see you would have both of those guys I have ranked higher than Najee Harris this week. So there are scenarios in which I could see you having two running backs better than Najee Harris. But, I think more likely you're starting him if you have him. You're just lowering expectations for him. I have it running back 20 this week, so I still have him as a low-end starter against the Bills. You know, what you're basically hoping for is volume. So you see it there on your screen. You know, he's had at least 18 touches in 3 out of 4 games this year. He had 12 touches in week 1 against the Bengals, but he did score the touchdown. He's got a touchdown in 2 out of 4 games this year. We expect the offense to be better under Kenny Pickett. And they haven't used him much in the passing game, but it's not like he's a total liability there. Obviously, that was a big part of his fantasy success last year. So Najee Harris, make no mistake, it's a tough match against the Bills defense that allow the second fewest yards per carry and the fourth fewest rush yards. But I think just volume for Najee Harris, is he getting the insane volume he got last year? No, but is he getting enough that you likely don't have a better option? Yes, he's more of a lower-end RB2, and you're hoping that he falls into the end zone versus the, you know, top 8 or 9 guy that you drafted him to be.
Yep, 14.5 carries per game plus the passing game work that he's generally going to get.
Again, let's see what this offense looks like under Pickett. We think it'll be better. Maybe Pickett dumps it off a little bit more than Mitch Trubisky. We think they're going to be in scoring position more than they were under Trubisky.
Whatever it is, it's going to be different, and that's all you want. If you're a Najee Harris owner, you just want something different.
1,000%.
Now, the guy who is potentially going to ride the most of that difference is George Pickens, who has been the player of the week in terms of waiver wire pickups if he was on waivers. How highly are you rating George Pickens?
Yeah, I like him. Certainly you wish he was a better matchup than the Buffalo Bills, who have the number 1 pass defense through 4 weeks. But the positives here are, again, small sample size, but it's all we've got to go off of. You know, a 30% target share once Kenny Pickett came in last week. Yep. I mean, he was looking for George Pickens. He got 4 targets. He caught all of them, 71 yards. Like, they're targeting him down the field. We saw the amazing catch on Thursday night against the Browns. We know the athletic ability is there for George Pickens. We know the Steelers have a long history of developing wide receivers into really good players, both NFL and fantasy-wise. I think George Pickens is the next guy in that line. They're taking deep shots with him. He's got the 3rd highest average depth of target so far this season. Pickett, we think, is an upgrade over Trubisky. I have George Pickens as wide receiver 41, so not a must-start. Yep. But I do think he is a viable flex, and, you know, in your league where you play 3 wide receivers and you generally like wide receiver versus running back in a flex, especially if it's PPR. Yeah, I am more pro than anti-George Pickens this week. I'm very pro on him season-long for the rest of the season, but this week I'm more pro than anti, even though the tough matchup with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. A little bit of buzz that Pickens is the guy in Pittsburgh going forward. You still want Deontay Johnson. He's still the number 1 guy. It's one half of a sample size of Pickens being the guy. Like, Deontay Johnson has been the number 1 receiver across multiple quarterbacks in Pittsburgh. He's one of the 15 most talented receivers in the game. He's still the guy that you want, but Pickens, potentially a guy in your flex spot. Devin Singletary, is he someone that you're starting against the Steelers defense that, even without TJ Watt, has been a top 10 unit?
We talked about Devin Singletary last week, who was on the love list. He paid off as well. I'm in on Devin Singletary. What's exciting here is that he is playing a ton. Whereas it started out like he was kind of in a committee, but as the Bills got into some tougher matchups, you know, the loss to the Dolphins, the back-and-forth game with the Ravens last week that they won, they're using Devin Singletary quite a bit. You look at the numbers. He's ninth among running backs in snap share. He's got the second most receiving yards among running backs, right? He's fourth in receptions among running backs. And this matchup with Pittsburgh doesn't really scare you. Pittsburgh has allowed a touchdown to an opposing running back in each of the last three games. Who's going to score? Which running back do you think has the better shot at a touchdown? It's Devin Singletary in this game. So, yes, I think he's a high-end flex, low-end RB2 against a Steelers defense that's 24th against the run.
Yep, haven't been great against the run. Okay, Gabe Davis, the most talked about fantasy player in the offseason, arguably, hasn't happened the past 2 weeks. Are you ringing the alarm bell on Gabe Davis, or are you continuing to start him?
No, I'm starting him. I think he's a viable wide receiver 3. He comes in at wide receiver 28 for me as we sit here on Friday morning. Obviously, the ranks will be updated over the weekend as we get more news on Friday practice reports. But, you know, Isaiah McKenzie remains in the concussion protocol. We already know Jamison Crowder has been ruled out. Dawson Knox has been ruled out. And to me, that's the big one, because the calling card for Gabe Davis has been touchdown equity. This is a guy who last year was top 5 in terms of end zone targets among wide receivers, despite not playing a lot. And this year, he is playing a lot, right? He's played 100% of the snaps. He's run the most routes by any Buffalo wide receiver. Now, so far, that hasn't totally translated into fantasy production, obviously. He was wide receiver 87 last week, despite playing a ton of snaps. But my expectation here is, again, with a narrow target tree, no Knox, no Crowder, maybe no McKenzie, I do think Gabe Davis gets a nice target share against a Steelers secondary, by the way, that you can throw on.
Yep.
I mean, and Pittsburgh has been bad. They are a bottom 12 pass defense so far this year. Give me Gabe Davis as a wide receiver 3 this week.
Yep. You know who also hasn't had a great past 2 weeks is Stephon Diggs, who hasn't really lit things up either. I think Miami were kind of selling out.
You're talking about the chief ball officer, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, CBO.
Friend of the podcast, yeah. Stephon Diggs, absolutely.
Yep. So Miami, they were selling out to stop deep balls. It was all over the middle to Devin Singletary. And then the Baltimore game, like, Josh Allen went 19 of 36 in tough conditions. You kind of have to throw that out. Now,
this game is at home in Buffalo. We'll see what the weather will be like, but they're used to playing in Buffalo.
Yep, they are. Now, Lions, Patriots, blockbuster, Pats, Bailey Zappi's minus 3.5-point favorite against the Detroit Lions. The over-under is 45.5.
And I bet that line moves, knowing that Amon-Ra St. Brown is back, Shark is back, you know, Reynolds, he'd missed practice earlier. Yep. My guess is that line moves.
Yeah. To me, that line should be Patriots minus 2, not minus 3.5. So I would bet on the Lions plus 3.5. Now, every week, it's a question, Ramondre Stevenson, Damian Harris, who are you starting, and can you start both of them?
Yeah, and I think the answer is yes. Yep. I think you can start both of them. Again, Bailey Zappi, give the Patriots credit and give that young man credit. Like, he came in a very tough situation and played well. And honestly, like, they had a real shot to win that game at Green Bay. I think you could argue maybe they should have. The fact of the matter is Zappi, I think, played really well, and they're going to be conservative with him. Like, it's still a run-first offense. You think about the Detroit Lions, only 2 teams in the NFL have given up more rushing yards per game than the Detroit Lions. You can run on Detroit. They've allowed 120 rushing yards and multiple rushing touchdowns to running backs in 3 of 4 games this year. So I think both Ramondre Stevenson, my running back 19, and Damian Harris, my running back 23, are viable starters this week as well. Stevenson is a top 20 play, and Harris is a high upside flex.
Rest of the season, who do you want, Stevenson or
Harris? I still want Stevenson, who's had consecutive games with 16 touches and 85 scrimmage yards. I think he's the more versatile player. Harris is a nice running back, make no mistake, but he's the more versatile player there. Harris is certainly leading in terms of touchdowns, 3-1, but more receptions and receiving yards for Stevenson. They both have over 200 rushing yards. Harris has just 10 more rushing attempts than Stevenson's on the year, and so feels like slowly but surely this role is becoming more Stevenson heavy again. If you're telling me this guy's getting 16 or more touches in a game for the Patriots, I want in on that with Ramondre Stevenson.
Yep.
Especially given the passing game usage.
I think each week you make Damian Harris a slight favorite to get more just rushing attempts than Stevenson, but you make Stevenson a heavy favorite to get passing game work.
1,000%. And Harris is more likely to, like, if you're, you know, putting odds on it, he's more likely to fall into the end zone. I think both guys are viable this week against the Lions.
Okay, quickly, Josh Reynolds. Obviously, this is hugely contingent on Amon-Ra St. Brown.
And
if he doesn't
Shark.
Play,
and DJ Shark, by the way, I think I ranked him on Thursday as wide receiver 30. Now with St. Brown, if we get news after practice, he looked good. He's good to go for Sunday. You know, no setbacks during practice. Assuming that Shark and St. Brown are active, we thank Josh Reynolds for his service last week. We'll remember it fondly. but back to the waiver wire you go, unless one of those guys is out. And hey, if Sharks and St. Brown get hurt again, we will revisit you, Josh Reynolds.
Did your bold prediction of that win, Josh Reynolds,
yes.
Top 20 wide receiver?
He was an easy top 20 wide receiver last week.
There you go.
Hey, I'll look that up. Josh Reynolds in week 4 was wide receiver 9.
Wow.
I could have said top 10 and been right.
So Michael Smith wanted you to get.
I could have said
top
9.
10 and you pulled out.
You should have gone all in. It doesn't matter. I didn't go as bold as Michael Smith. That was a great call by Michael Smith, who said, literally, said 330 passing yards and 30 rushing yards for Geno Smith, 2 passing touchdowns and rushing touchdowns. And literally, like, not only he hit those numbers and went above them
on
both. Unbelievable call by Michael Smith. Should never make another prediction again.
He should abstain.
He should just be like, that, I'm going out on that one.
Walk out.
Exactly right.
Seahawks with Geno Smith, a 5.5-point underdogs in New Orleans. No respect for the rejuvenated Geno Smith, comeback player of the year candidate. The total is 46.5. And I think the most interesting fantasy player in this game is Rashad Penny, who for the first time this year flashed back to the last 6 weeks of last season when he was the best running back in the sport.
Playing against the Detroit Lions makes a lot of running backs look good. Having said that, we've seen sustained success from Rashad Penny, as you mentioned, dating back to last year. This year, the Seahawks offense, better than advertised, better than we expected. He's played at least 69% of the snaps in 3 out of the 4 games so far this year. He's averaging 5.96 yards per carry. That is the 4th highest among running backs. So Rashad Penny, I currently have him. Rashad Penny going on the road to New Orleans, which has been a bottom 12 run defense so far this year. Yeah, I think Rashad Penny, look, he comes in at running back 33. So I think he's more of a running back 3. He's more of a flex play. But I'm more buying him than not, if you will, because normally I'd just be out entirely on the Seahawks run game. Yeah. And when my ranks come out, he'll be up a little bit higher as well. I think he's in that 20 to 30 range. He's a flex play.
I think he's probably the highest variance running back in the entire league week to week because he has these 2 touchdown, 151-yard games in him with a surprising amount of consistency. And then he also has games where he might just get 7 carries and they want to go with Kenneth Walker or something, and then he's just completely nothing.
Right, but Travis Homer is already on IR. Yep. And yesterday, last night, again, I haven't updated my rankings yet today. I'm going to wait till the Friday practice reports. But Kenneth Walker showed up on the practice, the injury list as well. So we don't know if he's going to play or not, but certainly if he's less than 100%, you feel pretty good about the massive workload that Rashad Penny should get on the road at New Orleans. I'm in on Rashad Penny this week as a flex.
Yep. Speaking of massive workloads, Tyler Lockett's had 30 targets the last 3 weeks. Geno Smith has kind of locked onto him. What are you doing with Tyler Lockett this week? Just automatic start for the time being?
I don't think he's an automatic start, but again, he's a wide receiver 3. I'm at wide receiver 24 here. I think if you're starting a pass catcher, I still feel better about him than DK Metcalf. I know Metcalf had a big game last week, but at least 6 catches and 75 yards now in 3 straight games for Tyler Lockett. Like, that kind of consistency, we know about Lockett's talent, but getting that kind of consistency from him is really impressive as well. By the way, I also hope my expectation here is that Marshawn Lattimore will be on Metcalf because they use Lockett a lot more all over the field. So I prefer Lockett to Metcalf this week. I think he's a viable wide receiver 3.
Can I take you for a walk, Matthew? Because
sure.
I want to just pick your brain on something. What if Geno Smith was just good
along? You want to take me on a walk? Is this because your wife is like, and now you're looking for other prey? Is this what's going on?
The Sophia minus 200 reference catches again.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really a sure bet.
Yeah.
So Geno Smith, his 39th pick in the draft, comes into the Rex Ryan Jets. That's a bad Jets team. This is post the glory era of Mark Sanchez taking them to AFC title games, 2013. And it was a bad Jets team. 6.5 win total. They're bad. Yeah. Geno gets benched. And then for 8 years, just isn't seen as a starter in the league. Just a perpetual backup. This is his first sustained run.
And he tore his ACL at one point, didn't he?
Yeah, right, he's been injured. He dealt with all of that. Right now, he is top 3 in the NFL in PFF grade, DVOA, passer rating, and it's not like these have been terrible defenses. Like, he had to play the Broncos defense, the Niners defense, which is the best in the league, and he's performing like a top 3 quarterback in the NFL. So I don't think he's going to be an MVP candidate or anything, but I think we kind of have to adjust to think that Geno Smith might be,
good.
He might be the 15th best quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
It's not crazy, is it?
No, it's not. Look, this is a guy that was really productive at West Virginia as a college quarterback. I want to say, this is off the top of my head, keep me honest, Blake, where we are. I think he was a second-round pick.
Yep, second-round pick, high second-round.
High second-round. So, I mean, like, it's not like – I mean, there's a little bit of draft capital, and so it has been a minute, as the kids say. But I don't think that's a crazy premise at all. But maybe – you know what? Maybe Geno Smith is good.
Yep.
Again, like, you know, they wrote me off. I ain't right back. You know, like, listen, I just as NFL stories go, that would be awesome.
Yep.
Like that. Like honestly, Russell Wilson wanted out of Seattle. Make no mistake. And so it's unfair to Geno Smith to sort of compare him to Russell Wilson because they're different players with different careers. But like, there is something to the idea of like you know, like Russell Wilson's certainly struggling now, and Geno Smith, like again. Everyone thought the Seahawks were and through four games, Geno Smith's been the better quarterback than yep. Russell Wilson. That's you know.
I think he is a serious chance to win Comeback Player of the Year. To me, it's Saquon and Geno and then the rest. All right, let's get into Chris Olave, the red rifle proof. Chris Olave,
important distinction.
33 targets the past 3 weeks. Now, I think he is someone that you're just starting regardless of Dalton or Winston.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not looking great for Winston. We'll see how Friday, but, you know, Winston missed yesterday, as did Michael Thomas. So we expect a lot of targets here for Chris Olave, who is at 80 yards or a touchdown in 3 straight games. The talent is obvious as well. You certainly love, you know, it's one of those things where you're just like, you know, hey, you're playing Seattle. Like, it's like you had me at Seattle. They're home to Seattle. And there's only been 3 teams in the NFL worse against the pass than the Seattle Seahawks this year. So Saints at home to Seattle. Yeah, give me some Chris Olave as an easy, locked-in top 20 play this week.
For those watching, we're showing Offensive Rookie of the Year odds powered by BetMGM, where Chris Olave is now the clear favorite at plus 450 in front of Kenny Pickett, Drake London, Romeo Doubs, and then Dameon Pierce, Garrett Wilson, George Pickens, Breece Hall. I do think that Olave is probably the rightful favorite just because of the targets that he's going to get. But like, I actually think that that market is the betting market that ties most into fantasy than any other market, just because it's just purely about production. It's purely about statistical production.
It's
you
not
don't
about
have
like
to be on a winning team.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
Not really. I mean, Saquon won it on a 5-11 Giants team. I don't think that's a prerequisite. It's more about just about production. So,
I think if Kenny Pickett is good.
Yes.
Then, I mean, you know, quarterbacks, I just sort of feel like it's a quarterback league. So if Kenny Pickett is good and everyone's saying, like, oh, good, we figured out our post-Ben solution, then I think it would probably be him. But there's no question. He has the talent and the opportunity to put up big numbers the rest of the way.
Yep. Okay, let's jump into Titans, Commanders. I'll start with Robert Woods, who got into the end zone but just hasn't seen the volume that maybe we hoped for.
He's had 12 or more fantasy points now in back-to-back games. Treylon Burke is not going to play in this game without the turf toe. And, again, you had me at Commanders. I mean, Washington is a bottom 8 pass defense. They've been absolutely brutal as well. No team has given up more touchdowns to opposing wide receivers this year than my Washington Commanders. There we go. Hail the Commanders. Hail victory. They've also given up the 3rd most yards to the position as well. It's a team that plays poorly. Robert Woods maybe has lost a step, but he's you know, he's still a very accurate route runner. I think he gets enough volume here to pay off for you. I think he's borderline wide receiver 3 and 4.
Yeah, I think it's a good sign that Derrick Henry has looked better the past 2 weeks, because that entire Titans passing game has always been off of play action, where Tannehill is one of the best in the league. Now let's talk about your guy, Terry McLaurin, who's coming off of a tough game where Trayvon Diggs had the game of his life against McLaurin. But have you lost any faith in Terry McScore?
No, and by the way, Curtis Samuel returned to practice today, so that's helpful. We'll see if Jahan Dotson plays. He practiced on a limited basis today, but Samuel is back at practice, and so with him and McLaurin, it's sort of hard to kind of pick your poison. I have McLaurin as a top 30 play this week. Titans have played better defense recently, but they're still on the season. They're a bottom 4 pass defense, and I do think they're going to have to throw. Make no mistake, Carson Wentz, 2nd in the NFL in pass attempts through 4 games. It is a passing offense.
It is a passing offense. Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to dive into some more Week 5 games, including Bengals, Ravens on Sunday Night Football.
Hey,
on NBC, I'm a company man, Matthew Berry.
It's about time.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life?
Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Be sure to check out our new Sunday show, Fantasy Football Pregame, at 11 a.m. Eastern, live on Peacock. It's a one-stop shop for your NFL fantasy and betting needs. Get your sit, start questions answered using the hashtag FFPregame. That's with me, Matthew, and Michael Smith. Michael Smith riding hot after his incredible Geno Smith prediction.
I like that you just used to stuff with me.
Then Matthew Berry, then Michael Smith.
Okay, interesting that you gave yourself... I like that you gave yourself top billing.
All right. Now, what we're watching for in Week 5, let's jump into some of the big games. The biggest of all, the AFC North showdown between the Bengals and the Ravens. It's Ravens minus 3.5. Not a lot of respect for Joe Burrow and co. The total on that one is a pretty high 48 as well. Now, I think the thing to look for in this game is just, do you think that the Bengals are just going to gash the Ravens secondary like they did last season?
Yeah, I mean, like, I always like home teams in primetime games. I feel like they get up, especially tough loss last week to the Buffalo Bills. So I do think the Ravens sort of get up for this game, and you know, they kind of they play better defense than you might expect. Sunday night, games on NBC and Peacock, of course, I'm a company man. But having said that, no team has allowed more passing yards per game than the Baltimore Ravens. They're giving up 312, right? And teams facing the Ravens are averaging over 44 pass attempts per game. You think about the two games that Joe Burrow played against the Ravens last year, 941 yards, seven touchdowns, one interception, massive games. We talked about that in preseason. We're like, one of the reasons why Joe Burrow's overall production last year was inflated because he had these two crazy games against the Ravens. And so, yeah, I mean, I have him as a top six quarterback this week. I think Burrow has a monster game. Give me the over on his passing yards. Give me the over on Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and their passing yards. I think it's going to be a bit of a shootout here.
Yeah, I think at some point in the season, the Baltimore secondary is going to get a lot better. But right now, it's not been great. They're still below average defending deep passes. But there's a lot of talent in that secondary. There's Marcus Peters, Marlon Humphrey, Kyle Hamilton. Like, there's going to be growing pains there. But as those guys come off their injuries and get healthier and get more gelled together, I think that there should be something there. And yeah, look, what Jamar Chase and T. Higgins did last season against the Ravens, Jamar Chase is the one that certainly stands out with 326 receiving yards in two games, destroyed Marlon Humphrey in that first matchup, 53.6 fantasy points for Chase, 56.6 for Higgins, which is absurd. At the same time, I don't think they're going to put up those type of numbers, but they'll put up numbers.
Ravens gave up over 300 passing yards to Mac Jones and Joe Flacco.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah.
Okay, let's jump into...
Anyway, you're starting all your Bengals.
Yeah, you're starting all your Bengals, including Joe Mixon, who Zach Taylor is intent on running 20 times a game, even if it's for 2 yards per carry.
God bless.
You just ride with Joe Mixon until Zach Taylor decides to do something different. All right, let's jump to Cardinals-Eagles.
Okay.
The line right now is Cardinals plus 5 at home to Philadelphia. Not a lot of respect for a team that was a one seed in the second half of last season. Now, do we think that this offense can keep up with Philadelphia, and which Cardinals are you starting?
I mean, you're starting Kyler, and you're starting Zach Ertz. Right. And you're starting Hollywood Brown.
Yep.
Those are the three that you're definitely starting.
So James Conner, not a definite.
I'm at running back 29. Okay. So I mean, I think he's a touchdown dependent flex play. I'm concerned about him, right? I mean, this is a guy who through 4 weeks is averaging under 11 fantasy points per game. He's running back 30 on the season. He's had under 60 scrimmage yards in 3 of 4 games. The only running back to get more than 40 yards from scrimmage against these Eagles is DeAndre Swift. And over the past 3 weeks, No team has allowed less rushing yards per game to running backs than the Philadelphia Eagles. They're averaging 46 yards allowed rushing to running backs. This is the Eagles. So, no, I don't think James Conner is a must start. Again, you may not have a better option, but Conner made the hate list this week. Like, I just lower expectations, unfortunately, for James Conner. Look, you're obviously starting Kyler Murray, and I like Zach Ertz, who made the love list. Again, he leads all tight ends in terms of red zone targets. He's had multiple red zone targets in every game this year, double-digit targets in two or three games. We always say start your tight ends against Philadelphia, especially when you think about Slay and Bradbury. They're so good on the perimeter. I think that's one area of the field you could attack. Revenge game narrative as well. I think Ertz has a nice game here against his former team. Finally, I guess, you know, Marquise Brown. I
think you have to start him. He's had 39 targets the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, exactly. So.
Yep. I think that with Connor, the issue is that, like, they're a mediocre team right now, Arizona. Like, I'm sorry, Arizona, but the 5.5 point dogs at home, that's their reality right now. And when you're a middle of the road team and you don't have like Jonathan Taylor as your running back, then touchdowns are just going to be fluky week to week. And Connor got 16 last year because the Cardinals were competing for the one seed in the second half of the season. I do think quickly on the betting line here, I would be taking Philadelphia. It's ticking up to -5.5. And the reason is that the Cardinals, they were 6.5 point dogs to the Chiefs in week one. I think the Cardinals are worse than we thought coming into the season. And I think the Eagles are just as good as the Chiefs were coming into the season now. So I would be taking the Eagles -6.5. Let's quickly jump into Dolphins-Jets, okay. Which is maybe a more interesting game than it looked preseason, certainly with the Teddy Bridgewater element. Are you downgrading the Dolphins wide receivers with Bridgewater?
I mean, slightly, but for our purposes, I don't think it matters.
No.
Like, we were encouraged by the fact that Bridgewater was taking some deep shots. Remember, they've had now 10 days. They're coming off the mini-bye, right, because it was the Thursday night game the last week. And so they've had 10 days. Mike McDaniels has 10 days to realize, okay, I'm playing the Jets with Teddy Bridgewater as my starting quarterback. Tua Tagovailoa not going to play in this game. By the way, it's worth noting that, and I tweeted this out, that there is slight concern on Marquise Brown, right? I'm going to read it real quickly. But basically, Barry Jackson, who covers the team for many, many years, he just said, quote, Tyreek Hill had something come up with quad. Quote, we are treating it and we are hopeful he will play. That's Mike McDaniel. So it's a tweet from Barry Jackson, who's covered the team for like 35 years. You see it there on your screen as well. Hopeful?
That's not great.
That's not great.
It's not what you want. Coming
like,
off a long, long
play week
as well.
He'll definitely play coming off 10 days, right? So it's just something to monitor. We'll have more on that Sunday morning on Fantasy Football pregame. But assuming Tyreek Hill is active, assuming you're still starting Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, the positives of Teddy Bridgewater, and again, we were encouraged by that he took a few deep shots last week, but he's super accurate, especially in short. And with 10 days to prepare this game, my expectation here is McDaniel's figured out ways to, you know, do some slants and some crossers where you can get those guys matched up one-on-one and take advantage of their speed, get lots of yards after the catch, which is what's great about Teddy Bridgewater as well. Certainly the Jets matchup doesn't scare you.
No, and the fear with Bridgewater would be that, you know, check down Teddy. Teddy covers. He doesn't throw it deep. Well, he threw it 61 yards in the air and completed the pass to Tyreek Hill. So it's not like Tua is Justin Herbert with his arm either. All right, Breece Hall, who has kind of started to take over this backfield, yeah. I think. 45 snaps to Michael Carter's 29 last week. Is Breece Hall definitely the guy you want going forward in that Jets backfield?
Feels that way. I ranked him as 21st this week. Season high in touches, and as you mentioned, the snaps. His snap rate, 66%. You see it there on your screen as his snap rate has gotten higher pretty much every week. 45%, like, whatever. The Browns game, that was, you know, weird, and it was that big comeback. But 51% in week three, 66% at the Steelers, going against a Dolphins defense as well. I think what's encouraging, look, the Dolphins have a good defense here, but Hall, who was playing last week, played 12 of the 16 snaps they had on third and fourth down. So you know, the thought process of like, oh, well, Michael Carter's the passing down back. No, I mean, like, they like Breece Hall in the passing game as well. He's gotten six or more targets in three out of four games this year, which that gives you the confidence that there's a floor even if Miami starts blowing him out.
Yep. And, I mean, Breece Hall, he was a tier one running back by himself coming into the draft. His measurables compared to Jonathan Taylor. Like, if they give him the run, he has all the talent in the world. Now, before we go to break, right now my favorite futures bet on the board is with the New York Jets. Sauce Gardner is plus 1,400 to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. Ooh. To me, he should be almost the favorite with Devin
Lloyd.
He's
been great.
I don't understand. Like, he's the sixth favorite in the market behind guys like George Karlaftis and Aiden Hutchinson, who plays on the worst defense in the league. To me, Sauce Gardner should be joint favorite for that award with Devin Lloyd, and plus 1,400, I think, is fantastic.
I love that bet at BetMGM. Yeah, I mean, like, by the way, he's in a New York market.
Yes,
and the
that
Jets
helps
have,
so much.
And that helps, and this shouldn't help, but it does. He's got a great name.
Yes,
I mean, Sauce Gardner. It's like, I mean, come on,
delicious.
Like, it's a fantastic name, and, you know. So he plays in a New York market. He's got a fun name. He's got a fun personality as well. If you've seen any interviews with him, and so I like that call out. And by the way, he's backing it up on the field. Like, he's playing.
He's been a monster.
He's playing great defense. And the Jets have been better than I think people expected this year. So I like that call quite a bit.
All right.
Monday's headlines today. That's what's next as the Fantasy Football Happy Hour rolls on.
Rolls on. The NFL season is here, and the NBC Sports Predictor app is giving you a shot at winning $100,000 by entering Sunday Night 7's free contest between the Bengals and the Ravens. So if you don't have the NBC Sports Predictor app, go download it now. Okay, last call. Monday's headlines today. Matthew, what do you got?
Go pick up Brian Robinson. Now, we've been talking about this for a while, but I think more and more people are going to be talking about it. Brian Robinson back at practice is an absolutely great story. And we've talked about Antonio Gibson and his usage going down. Like, Gibson made the hate list this week. I don't know that I'm starting Brian Robinson. I'm not starting Brian Robinson. But my prediction for this weekend is that Brian Robinson is available in a ton of leagues. Brian Robinson is active against the Titans, and I bet you they do whatever they can to get him into the end zone. It's too good a story. We're all rooting for this kid. That's my headline.
I like it. My headline is that the Rams will be on the verge of missing the playoffs after they lose to the Dallas Cowboys. The Rams right now, they have the worst pass blocking grade in the NFL. You know who's pretty good at rushing the passer? Freaking Micah Parsons is pretty good. I think that offense is broken at the moment. They have no vertical element. And I think the Cowboys, who have been sneakily good under Cooper Rush, I think they might go into LA and win that game. Matthew.
That would make Cooper Rush 4-0. Quarterback controversy with Dak Prescott. Listen, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. For Jay Croucher, I'm Matthew Berry. We'll see you Sunday morning for Fantasy World pregame, 11 a.m. Eastern on Peacock. Tune in then. Until then, my friends, I am Matthew. He's Jay. Peace out.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.